You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
I've titled this message, A Way Back to God. I was pleasantly surprised when I read a Pew Research a couple weeks ago that says that 55% of Americans pray daily. Now, this includes all creeds, all beliefs, but it's a staggering statistic because it tells us that people are looking for the transcendent. They're looking for a life experience that goes beyond the physical realm. They're looking for the spiritual significance in their lives. And I was pleased to read it. Now, as followers of Jesus, prayer is a way for us to connect to God. A way to put it is that prayer is a way back to God. And I'll explain what I mean. We have so many things in our world that are designed to take us away from God, to take our attention away from God, to take our attention away from ourselves and from what matters. And the archetype of this phenomenon, the archetype of this idea, is found in the story of Genesis. Now, the Genesis story, if you're not a church person, if you didn't grow up reading the scriptures, the Genesis story could be a bit off-putting. But if you don't get hung up on the historicity of it or the objections to the Genesis story, it's a story that is a story about all of us. It's really my story. It's your story. Because in that story, scripture tells us that Adam and Eve, they were lured away from God's wisdom by their own ambitions. And that's what happens to us. We are constantly getting lured away by our ambition, by our own lust. And blinded by it, we are lured away from true wisdom. That's how we commit sin. We sin against God. We sin against people. We sin against ourselves. And when we sin, just like Adam and Eve, we try to hide it. We try to conceal. And we let that take our identity. That becomes the identity that we put on ourselves. And that nature in us is what the scriptures call the sinful nature. That thing that calls us away from God's wisdom. It causes a division in our judgment, a division in our sense of identity. And that division, the result of that sin, is exemplified in the story of Cain and Abel. Now, if you know the story, you know that Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's sons, first and second son. And the story goes that the envious brother, Cain, killed the good brother, the younger brother, Abel. Consumed by his jealousy, instead of trying to do his best, instead of looking to improve what he had lacking, Cain instead decided to take the life of his brother. He considered his brother an usurper of his blessings. And that's us, isn't it? We sabotage ourselves. We get into silly competitions. We compare ourselves. We critique ourselves. There's a Cain and Abel on the inside of us, of every single one of us. And Cain is always fighting against Abel. He's always fighting against his brother. Now, the first instance of prayer in the scriptures, as we understand prayer, happens in Genesis chapter 4, verses 23 to 26. And here's what it says. Now listen to this. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And then the scripture changes the tone. And it continues by saying, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. There's so much significance in this passage, and I want to break it down for you so you understand what took place here and how it relates to you and I. Here's what happened. Lamech said this: a man hit me, and when he hit me, I killed him for it. He was filled with regret. He was having a moment of introspection. In other words, he was saying, what have we become? What have I become? What is this that I can kill somebody in such a way? And then he felt guilty. That became part of his identity. His sin became part of his identity. He said, I deserve worse than Cain for doing what I did. Now, do you realize how current this text is? Do you realize how up to date it is with you and I? Because this text reflects us. It reflects all of us. We deal with the weights of our sin. We grapple with the shame of our own shortcomings. And we know what we deserve for them. We know what is due to us because of them. Like Lamech, deep inside, we know what we deserve. But this passage also indicates something else in the history of the scriptures that is important to understand. It indicates that a pattern of behavior that began with Cain reached all the way to the sixth generation. From Cain to Lamech, there were six generations. And the Cain nature, if you can call it that, became prevalent in their society. It became the way that they lived. It grew and it multiplied. And here we are, thousands and thousands of years later, still grappling with that reality, still grappling with that sin, still grappling with the value of life, as Lamech was. We grapple in our society with things like self-defense, the death penalty, abortion, the use of police force. We grapple with it all. Why is that? It's because there's a Cain and there's an Abel, vividly shown in us and vividly shown in our society. Now, I want you to pay attention to what happens next, because that's very significant. Instead of continuing the genealogy of Lamech, instead of his lineage continuing, because you can read all the genealogies in Genesis, his genealogy stops. We don't hear about Cain's genealogy anymore. What happens is that the scriptures go back to Adam. It's almost as though God is giving Adam another chance, another go at his posterity, at his offspring. His legacy was so bent out of shape through Cain that God was like, we're going to restart this whole thing. We're going to begin again. And instead of telling us about Cain's seventh generation, which existed, scriptures tell us that Adam and Eve had a third son. And they named him Seth. And Seth continues Adam and Eve's lineage. Seth means appointed, as we read in the scripture. In other words, God appointed a new way, a new mode of living. And when Seth himself had a son, when his life became fruitful, that's another way to see it. Scripture says that at that time, the fruit of his life was that people began to call on the name of the Lord. Now I want you to listen, because this is significant. And this is too good to pass up. I wish we were in a building right now. I wish I could see you. I wish I could look in your eyes to see that you see what I see. I wish we were face to face and I could actually see what's going on right there. I can't see you, but I sense and I hope that you get the importance of this and how this matters. God appointed the way. Listen to this. the solution for their society, which was inundated in the Cain mode of life. It was inundated with the Cain mindset, the Cain behavior. The solution for their predicament was to raise a generation that called upon the name of the Lord. That was their solution. The word call here in the scriptures is the Hebrew word kara, which means to cry out, to utter, to make a loud sound. In other words, to make some noise. That's why we titled this series, Make Some Noise. It means to proclaim. Listen, Cain killed his brother. He killed his brother and he ran away from God. We all have this nature within us to overrate the good that God has put in us. Did you know that there's something on the inside of you that is constantly trying to overwrite the good that God put in you? I know you know, because you deal with it every single day. We have that in us. And then we run from God. We hide. There's a Cain in you. And this is not shocking enough for you to actually understand how important this is. Let me put it in modern day terms for you. All right? There's a Hitler in all of us. Now I got your attention, right? You're saying, oh, JD, that's too much. That's too much. Yes, it is. But you have to understand that everyone you've ever criticized in your life, every person you have ever denounced, every person you even hated, given the right circumstance, you could be just like that person. There is no one on earth to whom you cannot say, that could have been me. That's the truth. There's a Cain in all of us. But thank God for this scripture. Because what it tells us is that we are not left without solution. You need to know this. You and I are not left without solution. We can change history. You can change your story. We can change our story, our family story. You can make some noise. You can kara unto God. You can cry out to God and call upon Him while He is near and see your story change. Now, some of you are trying to do that right now. You're trying to change your story. That's why you're watching. You've been trying to change some of the Cain patterns that you've seen in your family. Your past is dominated by Cain patterns. Your family tree is dominated by Cain patterns. Bad always beats good. Negativity always overcomes positivity. And you have tried to break that cycle. You have tried the best you can to break that cycle and to break that story in your life, in your family. Some of you have sought in all sorts of ways to get the Cain in you under control, and it's been difficult. You've had a hard time keeping that Cain under control. You feel like you're a mess up. You feel like you're always making mistakes. Let me encourage you to heed to the truth in this scripture and become a Seth generation. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord, because God can change your story. God can heal your life. God can deliver you. God can transform you. That's why we pray. That's why I say that prayer is a way back to God, because when we feel like we're too far gone, when we feel like we're Lamech, man, if Cain deserved that, I deserve way worse. God makes a way back in the person of Seth. Now, Jesus is our supreme example of prayer in connection with God. And I want you to notice this, that if you go to the scriptures, you'll realize this, that after 3 years teaching his disciples, walking with them, and showing them the way, still his disciples had difficulty praying. Scripture says that the night Jesus was betrayed, they couldn't even pray with him for an hour, not 1 hour, 60 minutes. But after Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross, another way to put it is after he took upon himself their Cain nature, that nature that was putting them down, this is what happened. Scripture says that once Jesus ascended, in Acts 1:14, it says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. They finally got it. They finally understood that the solution to our problems, the solution to our world, the solution for our society, for our family, for our sin, is to fall on our knees and to call upon the name of the Lord with a loud voice, to make some noise, to call unto God. Now, let me encourage you today to make prayer a part of your daily life. For those times when trouble comes, for those times when difficulty arises, for those times when circumstances in your life become negative, prayer is not a last resort. Write this in your heart. Prayer is not a last resort. Prayer is your first response. So men, let me encourage you to kneel before your God and put your flesh, put your lust, put your pride, put your sin, put your shortcomings in their place at the feet of Jesus by putting your body on your knees and crying out to God. Ladies, let me encourage you to do the same, to present your bodies, your mind, your soul before God. There's so much pressure in the world today for women to behave a certain way, respond a certain way, do this, do that. There's so much. Let me encourage you to be free in God's presence, to call unto God, to call upon His name daily for your life, for your family, for your relationships. Let me encourage you to practice this message this week. All of us, when you feel that sinful nature, that Cain nature trying to creep up, when you feel like the Cain mode of thinking trying to get a hold of your mind, a hold of your judgment, trying to cause divisions in your family, cause divisions at work, cause divisions in your marriage, in your relationships, let me encourage you to cry out unto God, to make some noise, to make your way back to God. Invoke His name. Let me remind you, we are the Seth generation. We are the appointed ones, the appointed people to bring God's reality into the world, to erase the damage that sin has caused. So let me encourage you to be confident in your relationship with God, to come into His presence boldly, daily, and to call upon the name of Jesus, because He loves you and He is near. Do you receive it today? I know you do.